Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Come on! Welcome to Dave and Mahoney.
Would you prefer to be the really dumb one out of the group?
If you're the dumbest person in a group, you're the happiest person.
Seems like it.
If I'm the smartest person in a room, I'm in the wrong room.
Is that why you're so happy here? Because Audrey and I just were so intelligent.
I think I may be in the wrong room.
Dave and Mahoney. I love complimenting strangers, and I think that it might bite me in the butt one day.
Like the actual stranger? Yeah, I could see a stranger biting your ass.
Dave and Mahoney. I'm getting electrocuted, guys, so
Mahoney's walking around and he's adjusting these lights, but he's getting shocked every time that he's doing
touching him.
He's just going, ah!
So if you hold on to the desk, because I'm grounding myself.
You're okay.
I'm okay. But I let go, I'm kind of starting to like it. All right.
And now, this is Dave and Mahoney.
Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us on this Friday. Got some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news.
So this is a thing, okay? Furries are now terrorizing kids at a Utah middle school. So what? This is in a suburb of Salt Lake City. Students at a Utah middle school staged a walkout to protest some of their peers who identify as furries. Alleged instances of scratching and biting at them. The hours-long demonstration had both the students and the parents at this middle school in Payson, Utah, that was triggered by a petition calling for stricter dress code enforcement due to reported physical attacks by some middle schoolers. Look, again, I want people to be happy and to be able to identify as their true self, unless your true self is a chipmunk, in which case, bring back bullying. Like, what are you talking about? You're going to have some person dressed up as a furry in middle school. Like, save the furry weirdness for when you're older and there can be a convention that you can go to and everyone can bang.
You do you on your time. Keep your hands to your damn self. I am also a fan. I never was when I was a teenager, but now as an adult, I understand more. Uniforms.
Yeah.
I feel like all schools should just, you know, like, just be uniforms.
It did seem like it was kind of archaic, right? When we were kids, we're like, what do you mean uniforms? You have to wear uniforms. And then you look back, you're like, oh, that actually probably would have solved a lot of bullying problems for me as a very routine
poor
guy.
Poor kid who had, like, you know, not much.
Growing up poor, certainly that would have helped a lot. But also me now as an adult, as a very routine guy, I don't have to think about
same
my
thing.
Outfit. I don't have to decide what I'm wearing.
We both, I mean, you wear the same thing every day. I wear essentially the same thing every day. Yep. It makes it just that much easier. No thought has to be put into it. And I am pro. Here's what I am pro. Pro solid bathroom stalls in the bathroom.
Yep.
With no cracks. Mm-hmm. So I can poop in peace.
You got my vote.
And uniforms.
Okay.
Let's make
you superintendent of schools.
All schools.
Across the entire country? Across the whole world, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Some good news today as well. David Clarkson, 69 years old. He is retired, living in Australia, set a new Guinness World Record.
For what?
Visiting 120 pubs, ordering drinks within 24 hours.
So, but did he drink 120 drinks in 24 hours?
It said that he ordered a drink. I don't know if he was having like an alcoholic drink and finishing it at every bar, but if you're talking about 120 pubs, I would imagine
that's five pubs an hour for 24 hours.
That is impressive.
So you got to find the places where there's like 20 bars in a row.
I'm trying to think like where in the world there's 120 bars that you could get to within a 24-hour period.
In Australia?
I mean, maybe.
They like to drink down there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right.
Foster's.
But
it's Australian for beer.
They don't drink Foster's in Australia.
They drink Guinness.
But you know what? This man retired, and he thought, I'm not done showing the world what I have yet. And what? Finally, a Guinness World Record worth bragging about.
Tip of the cap to you, sir.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So, Mahoney, do you remember that story about the $20 million gold heist that happened in Toronto last year?
I do remember that one.
That was such a crazy story. So, this plane landed. It had just come from Switzerland. It had all this money on it. And they were wondering, like, how on earth does somebody unload $20 million worth of gold along with $1.7 million in foreign currency and just get away with it? Well, a lot of people suspected it has to be an inside job, right?
Without a doubt. That's the thing that comes to mind when you have this much money and this kind of, thing that's being stolen at hand.
So authorities have now come out and said, sure enough, it was an inside job. So this happened last year, but all the details are starting to emerge now. They say there was a total of 9 people they believe that were involved, former Air Canada employees, which, I mean, I don't want to say like I would do the same thing, but if I was like an airline employee that had access to planes and taking their cargo off, and I was aware that you were like flying in $20 million in gold plus almost $2 million in cash.
Right.
And there was no other like safeguards in place. Like I would be tempted. I'm not going to say that I would definitely do it. But I mean, if somebody's like, hey, the rest
depends
of us
on how down on my luck I am at that moment in time.
And if there's like a group of 8 other guys and they're like, hey, man, you want to join us? And
yeah, like, that feels like there's too many loose ends at that one. But if it's just like me and you, and we're gonna pull off this heist, yeah.
So I would like to believe that I would be one of the 3 people that was still on the lam, because right now they've arrested 6 individuals, but they said that there's 9 people involved, so 3 of them are still unaccounted for right now, including a former Air Canada employee. A jewelry store owner, a getaway driver, several other accomplices were also apprehended, but the stolen items include a substantial amount of the currency, the gold bracelets, a 5-ton truck used as a getaway vehicle. I mean, this is something straight out of a movie. So they unload it, they load it onto this, you know, 5-ton truck, so they have like a getaway vehicle that they've already planted on the scene to load all this stuff into.
Right.
And sure enough, for about a year, you know, they got away with it. But now it's starting to come out that they have busted 6 out of the 9 individuals.
Yeah, because you know what? People can't keep their damn mouths closed. They start spending their money like morons. You know, they start bragging when they get drunk at the bar. This is why you can't have... there's just way too many people in that crew who are just not professional enough.
It sounds like they really had an operation going, though. I mean, some of the gold was allegedly melted down and used to purchase illegal firearms. I mean, this is a plot line out of a movie. It really is wild, but, you know, 6 out of the 9 busted so far.
Nice.
Dave and Mahoney. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show. Glitz, glamour, and out-of-touch celebrities.
Well, that's redundant.
It's Pop Trash.
On Dave and Mahoney.
So, Mahoney, I know that you have been a big fan of the Witcher series, even though it's gone through a lot of changes. The Witcher is coming back for a 5th season, but it will be the final season.
Is this the one? I don't know if Henry Cavill is going to be in this one, or if this is the one they're replacing him with one of the Hemsworth brothers.
Liam Hemsworth is coming
and
in.
And I just, it's, you can't lose Henry Cavill and still have it be a successful show. I mean, it was already a lot of cheese to begin with.
I told you that was my problem with it. Like, you were, you know, a fan of the show.
And the game. It's a video game series that is amazing, and book series.
Because you were already familiar with the content, though, I felt like you had a leg up. Because like, when I first turned it on, I never played the game. I hadn't read the books. And I was like, oh, so there's just like this giant spider that's terrorizing everyone. Okay. Like, it just seemed pretty corny to me. But if you are a fan of The Witcher, it is coming back. 5th season. It will be the last season. Also, you're going to appreciate this, Mahoney, because I know that you're a huge fan of this show that you recently started watching. Fallout has already been greenlit for season 2.
Dave, not only have I watched that series once, I watched it 2 entire times in a week. I watched it once on my own. I couldn't stop watching. It was so good. And then when my wife and I started watching it, we finished it off in 3 days. Fun show. And the fact that it's getting a second season does not surprise me. I mean, this is going to be, I think it's going to win some awards, maybe for visual effects. But it's just one of those fun shows, and I hope Amazon keeps it going for many years to come, because that world is just so interesting, and there's so many stories that can be told, and it's kind of, we haven't seen like a really good post-apocalyptic show since, you know, like the season 1 of Walking Dead.
Yeah, I mean, I guess The Last of Us, you know, consider that was pretty well done.
Yeah, but those are all like zombies. This is more like nuclear war.
Right. And, I mean, it's big budget. They spent $152 million in the making of the first season. So it's not a low-budget show by any stretch of the imagination. It is coming back for season number 2. Netflix has done a really good job with their sports content. And, you know, when they first said that they were going to get into sports, you're kind of like, ah, you know, are you? Yeah, because a lot of people want to get into sports and then end up doing it pretty poorly. They've done a really nice job with their partnerships with, you know, Omaha Productions, Peyton Manning's group, and they've put together some really well-produced content. This is interesting, though. Netflix is going to premiere a new docuseries called America's Sweethearts, the Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders. And I'm just curious if they're going to showcase in this program how the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders get paid like $50 a game.
Yeah, and all the bad stuff that's happened over the years. I mean, there has been another, I mean, you remember it was on like CMT or something. There was like a making the team or making the squad.
Yeah.
You know, but the NFL, especially the cheering, a lot of the cheering sides to it have been problematic, especially going back many years. So I wonder if it's going to tell that story. I hope they do. And it's not just like a puff piece.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Netflix, again, like, they've done a good job with their sports content. I think this is an interesting foray for them into the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, but I'm curious to see how they present it, just like you are, Mahoney. Quentin Tarantino is walking back that his 10th film is going to be his final film, The Movie Critic. They were saying that this is going to be the last of it. He had publicly said that, and now it seems like maybe Quentin Tarantino isn't done after all.
Well, I think he is going to be done after 10 movies. Kill Bill 1 and 2 is widely considered by him to be a film. Mm-hmm. But The Movie Critic was a movie he was supposed to, that was kind of based on a 70s critic that, you know, was somewhat influential to Quentin Tarantino when he was coming up and growing up and getting into the world of cinema, but he's just not going to make that as his last movie.
Yeah.
So he's going to maybe do something else a little bit more grandiose, but it looks like The Movie Critic is going to continue to still get made, and they're talking about bringing Brad Pitt to reprise his role as the stuntman from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I honestly think if Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was Tarantino's last film, it was kind of a love letter to Hollywood. Nice cherry on top, but you know, everything he seems to do, in my opinion, at least for my taste, is a hit.
I think Tarantino should just become the Tom Brady of filmmaking, where he's always retiring and then coming back. You know, like, this is my last film, this is it, and you'll never see me again. I have another project that I'm going to announce, you know, next week.
Or is that like, you know, every classic rock band's last tour, you know, the Eagles. We swear this is the really, really, really final tour.
The final finale, for sure.
Yeah.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So there was some high drama at my house the other night. My wife decided to do a grocery order. She's like, hey, I've got to get a few things. I'm like, I'm still working on some stuff. She's putting the kids to bed. I'm just like, you know, just have the stuff sent to the house. It's a couple extra bucks, but it's the sort of convenience that I'm willing to pay for.
I can't imagine, like, I hate going to the grocery store alone. I can't imagine loading up four kids and then trying to navigate those tiny ass aisles.
It is one of the luxuries that comes with modern convenience where you can, when you need something, and it was just a couple of things, so it wasn't like an expensive order or anything. She was getting some stuff for my son's birthday, which is coming up, and then she also just got some like general snacks. So I don't know if you've seen those boxes of individually wrapped bags of chips.
Like the Frito-Lay ones?
Yeah. So it's kind of, it has like a whole bunch of Cheetos and Doritos and,
you know, the Frito-Lay mix pack.
Exactly. But my kids love those things. Like, they're constantly just snacking on little bags of chips. And I'm like, you children don't realize this. You live in the lap of luxury. We didn't have this sort of thing when I was growing up where you could just go over to a drawer and get a small, convenient bag of Doritos or Cheetos at any time.
Why haven't you shown me where your snack drawer is?
For very good reason, Mike.
You son of a bitch. I would say you are the world's worst host. I was over there last week smoking a cigar. No mention of this snack drawer to me.
So my kids love these. But the other night we're getting the groceries delivered, and I walk by the front door while I'm actually taking one of the kids upstairs, and I see that this guy has the box of chips on the ground along with all of the other bags. And he's taking a picture of it, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'll grab the groceries as soon as I come back down from putting Ruby to bed. And I come downstairs, and I realize something dramatic has happened. The groceries are all there, except for the box of chips is now missing.
Does that really need a dun-dun-dun?
I mean, the dude was taking a picture of the chips.
Sure.
Indicating that the order had been delivered.
How long?
And then he stole the box of chips.
Well, how long between you putting your daughter to bed and you coming back down? How
much
time?
Not long. Like a minute or two. Like she was ready to go to sleep. She was already dressed.
Rogue coyote? If I'm a coyote and I see a bag of Fritos, Chester Cheeto thing, little crunchy things.
Not long enough for somebody to steal it.
Doritos and Cool Ranch.
I instantly go barging into the other room to alert my wife that we have been robbed.
You've been burgled.
And I say, babe, he stole the chips. Why would he steal the chips?
Probably hungry.
I mean, I kind of get it. You know, like I'm going to steal 40 bags of tiny bags of potato chips. Kind of makes sense. And so she texts the guy because she was still on the text thread with him because he was delivering the order. Mm-hmm. And she said, why did you take the chips? To which he replied, oops, headed back right now. And he comes pulling up because I had opened the door and I was bringing the groceries inside. And he pulls into the driveway and he's got his hand out the window and he goes, oh, I'm so sorry about that. Turns out he hadn't stolen them at all, really, intentionally. He did take them back. But when my wife looked at the picture of what was delivered, they weren't in the picture. So I saw him getting ready to take the picture. Turns out what happened is he's like, I'm so sorry, man. I have like 3 orders in the car, and I thought this was for the next order, and so I put them back in the car. And so he hadn't actually marked them as being a part of the delivered order, and so now I'm the idiot. I'm the one who's out here telling my wife that this man stole our chips, and he did kind of take them. I mean, it's sort of an innocent mistake on both sides, but I just felt so bad.
Did you, like,
so
at least
bad.
Give him some, like a parting bag of Fritos?
You know? Have the pretzels. Nobody likes those.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney. The strangest, dumbest, and funniest audio from the depths of the World Wide Web.
This is the Internet is Undefeated. On Dave and Mahoney.
You know, as a parent, I find it very important to be honest with your kids about things that they're doing, you know, and whether or not they should continue to do them.
Do you? You feel like that's a good method of parenting?
Well, I mean,
and again, I have no children, so I don't know. You have 4, I have 0. Okay. I think I would have a different approach if I ever had a kid.
I feel like there's a balance, right? Like, you
want to lie to them all the time.
You want to encourage your kids to do things, and even if they're bad at doing those things, you're like, you're still doing a great job.
Well,
but,
that's
lying.
Well, that's not being honest.
No, but you're not pushing them further. And so that's what leads us to our first clip here, and the Internet is Undefeated. There's a little girl who was singing the national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, and... Dude, so she's wearing a dress, just to give you a visual, that is kind of like a giant flowing gown, like you'd see almost a kid wearing like prom or something.
Well, it looked like it's something that you would see out of, like, from 1776.
It was like an American flag.
Betsy Ross.
Yes.
Like if Betsy Ross made a dress out of the flag.
And she was singing the national anthem. And
why were we playing this? This is mean.
It's not mean.
It is mean.
This is already out there. I'm just saying, people.
And we're doubling down on it.
I want
to
be clear.
Best national anthem I've ever heard in my life.
I could not do any better than that. Uh-huh. I'm just saying it was a scene. And
you got to start somewhere. Yeah, she's got the gift of wanting to command the presence on stage. And you know what? There was a point in there where a guy was like, "Woo!" Shout out to that guy. That guy's a real American hero.
That's right. That's right. So I feel like the producers of Jeopardy do this on purpose. There was a recent episode where the category was entitled Rap Words and Phrases.
And that's always like the whitest of the white guys who are answering this.
Of course it is. The contestants could not have made this more white.
Rap Words and Phrases for 800.
Okay, on Otis, Jay-Z claimed to have invented this 4-letter term, defined as bold assurance or great self-confidence. Michael.
What is swag?
Invented swag, yes.
Let's go with rap words for 600.
Used as an interjection in trap music, this vowel-less word conveys the sound of tires screeching. Michael.
What is skirt?
Yes, well said.
Rap words and phrases for 400.
There is no need to have a dental item for doing this, a word meaning showing off. Dr. Dre rhymed it with slossin'. Michael.
What is flossin'?
Flossin' is right.
Rap words for 200.
An early citation for this term for jewelry goes back to a song featuring Lil Wayne. Javeria.
What is bling?
Correct.
Hell yeah. I mean, they got the right answers.
Sure.
Skirt.
I mean, but like, come on, Jeopardy. You're like one. You're like one step above Family Feud and Steve Harvey feigning that he's shocked
what?
That you make a sexual innuendo
after
when you set
you
it up.
Yeah. So there are people on the internet are freaking out, and I think rightfully so. I mean, it's been 30 years since Brad, the lead singer of Sublime, passed away, and I know 30 years, and his son recently linked up with the band to do a performance at Coachella. And people are freaking out because how similar he sounds to his dad. Have a listen.
It's just a vibe that, you know, I've always been a fan of Sublime. But
so that first clip, because there's two clips in there, yeah. I don't know if you could tell. The first clip was actually Brad singing with the band back in 1996. And then the second clip there was his son.
He sounds
very, very
just
similar.
Like him. But I will say this, you know, because that was, I believe, at Coachella week or the first weekend. And I saw video from this and the crowd wasn't into it.
Really?
Dude, that crowd at Coachella is the worst
just too
it's
cool
ever
for the room.
Been. And I just like... Yeah, you have all these awesome bands that are getting back together, and you just kids who just don't care. People who are there, like, you've spent thousands of dollars to be there.
And you're just too cool to
clap. You don't care about the music. You care about the picture, and that's it.
Yeah. And last but not least.
That's why I'm glad, like, I kind of want Coachella to continue to fail.
The Beavis and Butthead skit from Saturday Night Live had everyone talking that Ryan Gosling and Mikey Day did together. And so, of course, the internet has put together AI Beavis singing a beautiful medley of songs for your enjoyment.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show. It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Finally, Mahoney, we have learned that there is an easy fix if we want world peace. Yeah, it's been going on since the dawn of time. Humans tend to like to fight each other and everything.
You know, there's one thing that never changes. War never changes.
And that's something that we see with animals as well. I don't know if you follow that page, Nature is Metal, on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, that is a metal-ass page.
It sure is. There is one farmer who is over in the UK who is having some problems with his rams, his male sheep, fighting each other. And I don't know if you've ever seen those videos of, like, the guys, like, trying to feed the rams whenever they're in a bad mood.
Just headbutting each other like morons.
Or they're just flipping the guy over the edge of the fence because they're so just brutal with each other. Well, this particular farmer has figured out a solution that makes them less aggressive. And I think that this is the answer for all of humanity as well, that could, in fact, make us all finally get along with each other.
What's that, Dave?
Axe body spray.
How is Axe body spray going to be the key that solves world peace?
I guess this guy has been spraying his sheep, his rams, the males, with Axe body spray, and he has noted a significant reduction in aggression since using this heavily perfumed body spray on the animals.
I don't know if this is a good thing or not. It probably, like, is destroying their senses and messing with their pheromones, and now they're
split hairs.
And now these sheep are just a bunch of cooks.
But they smell fantastic.
They're not willing to fight anymore. They're just going to lay down. Mm-hmm.
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Message for you.
Leave a message for the Dave and Mahoney Show anytime by calling 833-YO-DUMMY. That's 833-963-8669.
Did you get that? Please leave a message after the tone.
What is something
that feels like the end of the world.
Message deleted.
I mean, everything feels like the end of the world if you're paranoid. I was with an Uber driver the other day that felt so nervous behind the wheel. You could tell like she was constantly scared that people were going to run into her. And I'm glad that I don't feel like that, because can you imagine your job being driving around and being so worried that you're constantly going to die?
It's funny that that's what you point out, because my answer before I heard what you said was anxiety. Anxiety feels like it could be the end of the world. Like when your anxiety gets too much of you, you know, and it wins, there is no worse feeling than that, you know? And that's what the end of the world feels like to me.
Also, all of this stuff going on in the Middle East doesn't seem great.
No.
It doesn't seem great. If y'all could just chill out, that would appreciate that.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Pecan or pecan? My grandma said that a pecan is what you take into the tent with you when you're camping. So it must be pecan.
Message deleted.
Like it's pecan pie, but you can have a handful of pecans, right?
Pecans.
But what this guy is saying is that your grandma used to say you take a pecan into the tent when you were camping. Obviously, I would assume that your grandma is maybe a little bit older before the wide mouth Mountain Dews were available. But who on earth is peeing in a can? Can you imagine how harrowing that would be, even if it was
metal?
Sharp edges? Like, no.
Nah, man. Like,
even
the wide mouth Mountain Dews, like it's been a hot minute since that's had to happen. I'll risk it. Like I'll pull over. If I've got to go that bad where I'm debating on if I'm going to urinate in a bottle, I will pull over the side of the road and risk the indecent exposure ticket.
I have taught my son how to pee in a bottle because we've been on a road trip and I didn't want to have to like pull over and stop, because it is a production, as you can imagine, with four kids. They all want to go in. They all have to pee all of a sudden. They want to start buying stuff. It becomes like, I'm very competitive when I'm on road trips. Like I hate having to stop and then all of the cars that I've worked so hard to pass are going to get ahead of me again.
Yeah.
And it really makes me upset. So it was the last road trip we were on when we were, you know, driving back and forth to San Diego, and he had to go. And I'm like, would you like to try to pee in a bottle? And
yeah.
He's like, hell yeah, Dad.
My dad made me do that in the back seat on road trips. And he would make me toss it out the window.
Oh, you toss it out the window?
Yeah.
No, see, I just recapped it and then just put it in the side door until we actually got to
it. That's risky when you got kids, though, man.
Nah, but I can't throw a trucker bomb out the window.
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show. The worst cover songs on the internet have landed here
for your enjoyment.
Yeah!
It's Cover Your Ears on Dave and Mahoney.
Mahoney, you know how some days we have Cover Your Ears where the songs have millions of views and they're actually exceptionally well done? That is not today.
Oh, okay.
we have songs that have all under 1,000 count. In fact, the one that has the most has 990. And then we have some that, you know, like the first one here has 3 views.
Okay.
John is on the line. Hey, John, how you doing?
Oh, I'm great, guys. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. 30 seconds on the clock for each one of these. You're looking for the original artist and song. Just let the full 30 seconds play out before you make your guess. Best of luck to you. Here we go with number one. Beautiful. Wanted to keep that going. That is so from Tommy Boy Lambert. We've heard him before.
Mm-hmm.
Boy spelled B-O-I-E, in case you need another reason to hate him. Over to you, John. Do you know it?
That sounded like a really bad version of Broken Wings by Mr. Mister.
Yes, sir. Full point. Well done.
Woo-hoo.
All right. Here we go on to the second one. 151 views on this bad boy from Funky Pig Friday. And we'll stop it right there. Over to you, John. Do you know that one?
Here I Go Again with Whitesnake?
You are killing the game, brother. Two for two. You get two full points. That means I'm going to take away your lifeline today. So you got to do this on your own, but I think that you can pull this off. The next one here, only 36 views. If you go 3 for 3 with none of them having more than not even 200 views combined, it'll be very impressive. Let's see if you can pull this off. 36 views on this one from Arnold Mackey. Here we go for the win, John.
Willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I'll bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I'm the best that's ever been."
Again, 36 Chris, views on that one.
I am so mad at you that you did not get to the part where he starts speeding up.
Sorry. I couldn't take it that much more.
Dude, you should have started it there. I mean, come on, man. Like,
John, for the win, do you know it?
How about Devil Went Down to Georgia from Charlie Daniels?
Yes, sir. I got 36 views on that one, 151 views before that, and 3 views. 3 for 3. That is very impressive, John. Well done, brother.
Nice. You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Oh, my God, with these people. Shut up.
Dave and Mahoney.
So there's been a lot of talk about this sensation that is Caitlin Clark and her entering the WNBA and going through the draft process. But one of the big sticking points for a lot of people has been the amount of money that she is going to be making in the WNBA. So over a 4-year deal, she's going to be making a total of $338,000. So that means that her base salary is going to be $76,000 for her first year, and then it's going to go to $78,000, $85,000. Then if the fourth year option is elected, $97,000, never breaking the six-figure mark, not even making $100,000. Which, and a lot of people, when you compare that side by side to like an NBA rookie contract for arguably the biggest star to go into the NBA on any given year, it's not even close. And so people are pretty upset about it. But there's obviously a caveat here. There's a couple of them. One, does Caitlin Clark deserve to get paid an enormous amount of money? Of course she does. But this is the amount of money that is paid on a rookie contract, not based on her value. That's what has been arranged by the collective bargaining agreement for the league. And so I know it's like an unpopular opinion to say, I mean, of course she deserves more money, but there's no way that she can get more money right now because that's what the collective bargaining
moving forward, but then it changes for everyone.
Exactly. Here's the thing, though, is that Caitlin Clark is going to get paid, and just want to reiterate, I think she's definitely
worth
it.
She's already making $3 million a year as a college student in Iowa.
I mean, this is the first time where you've seen the women's finals get bigger ratings than the men's finals. There's 24.
Way more exciting this year, a lot more drama, even though the national championship game, you know, Iowa just was not prepared for South Carolina.
Early on, it looked like it was going to be a close game, perhaps. Maybe. But then 24 million people combined between ESPN and ABC, whereas the men's had about 15 million for the finals. But here's the thing for Caitlin Clark is that details are starting to come out about this new deal that she's getting with Nike. Have you heard how much it's for?
I have not, but
what would you guess?
But like, I mean, she was
doing a deal with Nike.
So the NIL, you know, the name and license stuff in the NCAA, she's making $3 million a year. My guess is she's probably going to make 8 to 12 in, a year in endorsements starting off.
According to The Athletic, this new deal with Nike is going to be worth well over $20 million.
A season.
I don't know if it's a season or if that's in total, but they're doing like a signature shoe and everything else. And they're saying when they say it's going to be well over $20 million, it's because of if she has a signature shoe made and she can strike some sort of deal like we've seen with, you know, of course, Jordan is the ultimate.
Nobody
will
ever strike a Michael Jordan deal.
No, that was
ever
too sweet.
Again.
But for her to be making $20 million
Happy
off of a single endorsement, that's huge.
You know, I mean, you break all the college records that she did. You know, she's a hell of a competitor. And the thing that I've actually, you know, because, again, I'm not like a huge women's basketball or basketball fan to begin with, but I watched it this year because
of her.
You know, a lot of talk. I'm like, I want to see what this is about. And it was, again, the semifinals. the Final Four was exciting.
Yeah.
That was a really exciting game. The finals didn't go her way. But watching her on, like, McAfee, watching her on SNL, she is showing that she has all of the characteristics to be a superstar, and she's still very, very young, and, you know, it's, you know, got a bright future ahead if she could continue to impress and play at the level that she is now.
Everyone was talking about her wearing that $17,000 Prada outfit to the draft, and I was like, it would be a lot more gangster if she was only going to make $76,000 a year, but she dropped $17,000 on a single outfit. I would have a lot more respect for it then.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
When your blood alcohol level exceeds your IQ.
It's the Redneck Report on Dave and Mahoney.
Mahoney, I've told you this many times before. There is one place and only one place in the great United States of America that I want to retire. That is
the Villages in Florida, Dave, the world's greatest retirement community, maybe America's version of Mecca.
I mean, it is astounding, all of the amazing things that happen in the Villages, and I've got a new one for you.
What's happened in the Villages this Dave.
46-year-old resident by the name of Brian Jamie Bowers was just arrested while on cocaine riding a moped.
Oh, hell yeah.
On my way to Flavortown.
If you have... I mean, if there was somebody who was coked up on a moped, it 100% would be Guy Fieri. I would like... I mean, I've been on a moped drunk before.
Okay.
Well, it was a strange man's moped that I did not know.
Were you on the back of it?
Yes. Who took me from Mandalay Bay up to MGM.
You got on a moped on Las Vegas Boulevard on the back of it while holding the...
It was after UFC 91 or 92, something like that.
Is that the night you lost your phone?
I can't remember if I lost my phone.
It was either your phone or your glasses, one of the two.
It was a rough night. I just, you know, we were with, I was with a couple UFC fighters. I met James Thompson that night.
Okay.
And Anthony Rumble Johnson when he told me he was a welterweight.
R.I.P.
But got on a strange man's moped, and I could imagine myself being coked up on that and it being a good time. I mean, I'm not going to throw stones because I live in that glass house.
You're not going to throw stones because you already snorted them all.
Yes.
So this fella in Florida, he got into some sort of dispute with his neighbor and, like, went over and, like, was, like, shooting a gun off into the air, which, you know, you can't do.
As you do.
And the other cop showed up, and there's body cam footage of them saying, sir, you need to come with us. And he's like, I'll finish my beer first. He just sat there, and he drank his whole beer and then just quietly came over and off to jail he went. But I like that he's like, look, if I'm going to jail, I'm going to finish this beer.
I mean, that's how you know, like, it's either those cops know him.
Uh-huh.
And they've been through this before with him because...
Go ahead, Randy. It's fine. Just finish it.
If you and I tell the police that, no, we're not coming with you, I'm finishing this beer, we are getting tased.
Tased instantly.
Yep.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
I feel like Oprah is one of those people that is kind of universally beloved. Like, everyone goes, oh, yeah, Oprah. Like, I get it. Like, she's been so influential and so positive for so many people and blah, blah.
Or you could be like me and just can't stand Oprah. You think the money has made her much, much worse.
Oh, okay. So I haven't really heard that take from you before. You're not a big fan of Oprah.
I'm not.
Okay. I mean, I've heard the take from you that you're not a big fan of Oprah because of the things that Oprah has foisted upon the world.
Sure.
And I'm talking about her experts, you know.
Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz and, you know, weren't you real good friends with Harvey Weinstein, too?
Oh, was she?
Yeah. So, you know, and also just, you know, the hypocrisy. It's like, again, you started from nothing, you made it into something amazing, and then you became the thing that you used to hate.
So Dr. Oz is the one that is back in the news, and it's not for a good reason. So he is facing a lot of criticism, and I think rightfully so, because he allegedly is using his mother's dementia to promote supplements that have no proven benefits except for to him because he is a partner with these supplements.
Uh-huh.
So he is posting on social media claiming that his omega-3 supplements sold by a company called iHerb probably slowed the progression of his mom's Alzheimer's.
Really?
Probably.
Is that how that works?
However, experts have disputed these claims, stating that there is little to no evidence supporting anything to do with these supplements in treating dementia. So a 2016 review of studies on omega-3 supplements found There was no benefit in slowing or stopping the symptoms of Alzheimer's.
This guy has been selling snake oil for years and years and years.
It's a new low when it's your mom who is suffering from dementia.
Right.
And he's doing the videos with her. Like, he's pulling her into the videos.
I hate this so much. As, you know, again, my dementia runs in my family. And it is, I will tell you, not something when I look at and that you deal with and that you try to cope with, you think of, you know what I should do with this? Monetize it.
Right. And yeah, especially when you're giving people that are dealing with Alzheimer's false hope, like families that, you know, have lost people and they're not able to communicate in the same way. And then you're going to believe Dr. Oz
if you just
buy his snake oil. Yeah. That's going to bring your loved one back.
This dude is just so dirty, scumbag, and dude, you should be better.
Just when I think that he's found the bottom, he keeps on digging. It's pretty unbelievable to use his mom in this way. Boo.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
How do you really feel?
Tell us
by calling the Dave and Mahoney Show voicemail
at 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey. I was wondering, what's the chance that you guys could play a couple extra hours? You guys are so much fun and full of energy. Bye, love ya.
Message deleted.
First off, thank you for the kind words. Certainly appreciate that. But you are barking up the wrong tree. Mm-hmm. Mahoney and I have been lobbying for a 4-day work week for a long time. In fact, Ecuador just came out and said that they are trying a 3-day work week. I mean, we want the Howard Stern. Like, Howard Stern gets paid $100 million a year and I think maybe does like 80 live shows a year.
Maybe. From his house.
That's the dream, right?
But we're not lobbying it for us. We are lobbying for that for
everyone,
people.
Yes.
There was a time, though, many years ago, this is about 14 years ago, I would say, they reduced our show from 4 hours down to 3 hours.
They're like, nobody wants to hear you guys talk. And we're like, at first we were really upset. We're like, what are you mad? So hurt.
We were mad for 6 months. We have never been that mad in our jobs ever.
And they decided they were going to make it from 6 to 9 instead of 6 to 10. And we fought it tooth and nail, but they eventually pushed it through. And then the show started to pick up and started to get really good ratings. And they were like, hey, we want to make your show 6 to 10 again. And we're like, no.
Mm-mm.
Nope. Not going to do it.
Nope.
Unless, of course, you pay us 25% more.
Actually, it was 33%.
Wasn't 33%?
It was 33%.
Okay. And,
wasn't there a time they wanted to go 5 hours, too? I think I remember that.
Yeah, they were trying. And no on that. Yeah. We got 4 hours in us, and that's it.
5-hour workday, please.
Dude, I will tell you, when we did a 3-hour show, we did that for about 6 or 9 months.
Something like that, yeah.
Somewhere in that range. It was like the days just went by so fast. Like, it was wild. Like, we would start the show, and then the show would just be over.
Yeah.
And you're like, what just happened? We do. Well, we'll be back tomorrow.
The good old days.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton are super cute. America's little sweetheart couple. We love them. But she was on her ex-boyfriend back at Coachella getting a piggyback ride. I don't know. But as a 40-year-old woman, I'm getting a piggyback ride from some other dude. My man's going to be probably upset. Not appropriate. She's probably going to dump him and get back with that guy. The ratings, people.
Message deleted.
I mean, her ex-boyfriend is Tony from the band, no doubt.
Sure.
You know, and she wrote a whole ass album dissing him.
Yeah, I mean, so here's the thing.
Like, their most famous iconic album was a letter of just like, you messed up, bro.
Yeah, but I understand her point. Like, if she was getting a piggyback ride from somebody in the band and it wasn't the dude that she used to hook up with, I think that might be a little bit different. I understand why she's saying, like, her husband wouldn't be thrilled.
He's married also.
I know, but still. It's kind of like if your you know, significant other gets a text message from their ex, you're probably not thrilled about it. Even if it's kind of just like a, hey, how are you?
It's fine. It's been 30-plus years. Years.
Okay.
And you know what?
I understand your point. I'm just saying I understand where she's coming from, too.
Like, again, Blake Shelton is got his own thing
going on. He's pretty secure, yeah.
How would your wife feel if your ex-girlfriend was riding on your back, Mahoney?
She would be shocked that I could lift her.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Now,
I will eat in my car sometimes, but most of the time, if I get something, I have the bag of food sitting in the passenger seat, and it just sits there until I get home. I have to eat it right then and there. I just don't have that.
Message deleted.
Oh, look at you with all your willpower. You're the one person on earth that cannot eat the fries. You're
driving nugs.
You actually get an extra order of nugs because you have the driving nugs and then the home nugs,
right?
If I go
to Wendy's, that is a Wendy's only because they have the open, easily accessible nugs. McDonald's, not driving nugs. Wendy's, those are driving nugs.
You're exactly right.
This is David Mahoney.
Because there's really no point in pretending to be... Hold on, what? Because there's really no point in pretending to be good at... To be good at this? Oh, I... Okay, let me pick it up from here.
It's an all-new blooper reel on the Dave and Mahoney Show.
You know, Mahoney, I think that we probably made Chris's job really hard this week. I mean, last week, Chris, you mentioned that you had to go searching for bloopers from me. It was almost impossible to find them. I don't think it was only one that made it into the blooper reel. Did I have another stellar performance this week?
Yeah, kind of. I tell you what, the bloopers used to find me, and I miss those days.
Dave.
And that wasn't the case this week. You guys actually were all right.
You may not know this, but I am a classically trained broadcaster.
What
I have
does
over
that mean?
10,000 hours of broadcasting under my belt.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would indicate that we should be better at
but
this.
I also, again, classically trained broadcaster. Every word, every syllable, every sound comes out of my mouth. Intentional.
Even the things that appear to be mistakes on purpose.
This is done for effect.
Yeah. Here,
I see. Let's have a listen.
The kazoo is a lost art.
We need more kazoo, more harmonica. Harmonica.
I feel like kazoos used to...
More harmonica.
Harmonica.
That too. I celebrate that. Yeah, I observe.
She actually had the lottery cards or the scratchers in her purse already when she went to this tarot card reading. Lottery cards or the scratchers in her... purse.
Oh, wow. Veronica, she was shocked that that's the double picture that she gets. That's the dual action. No knock on, like, the two for two. Those are the double, no knock on, like, two for two.
You know, he's got, you know, it's a very important moment. And, you know, it couldn't be a more cool experience to watch. Couldn't be.
The thing, you already have he already had a master's win.
Yeah. He was charged with reckless driving, and deputies observed him going in and out of traffic, obviously. Charged with reckless driving, and.
You are afforded a life.
And the lady that was talking out of the trach hole.
Also, too, there was a point in time where everybody was like, oh, it was your teacher? Cool, dude. There was a point, but I mean, genius sinus hustle, I guess, if that's your business. Genius sinus hustle, I guess.
16% still living with their parents.
Are you shocked at that rate? I am kind of. I mean, granted, I am. Parents. Are you shocked at that our friend Stags in our chat pointed this out, Dave. What's going on? First, you had the floods.
Uh huh.
Point of the house. I just want to be around, you know, because, like, work, it matters, but does it?
Millennial minimalist concrete. Millennial. I know it's still just smoking cigarettes, blackout drunk on drugs. Drunk on drugs. Drugs. Drunk on drugs. Drunk on drugs.
No, it's because I'm tall. Okay, and that's it. Just an, you know.
It's tall.
So this nothing I've got.
Mahoney has well documented.
You can't find that data.
When you're looking at the bot and when you're looking at the beard.
The idea, the premise of the conclusion of this.
Or, I didn't recognize right off the top of the bat.
Warming up, certainly something you could consume.
A blizzard. from Dairy Queen. I thought it was coming. All my whole life depends upon this fried chicken.
I see.
We start talking about chicken.
Get on my Grubhub.
Find KFC.
No, do you cover it in taco topping?
I'm working very hard. I've been going to Taco Bells.
I would like to see your punch cards
start to get like when I put on start to put on a little weight.
Make sure it takes 3 seconds, not even 2 seconds, 1 second.
Drunk on drugs.
Dave, my undefeated streak into 2024 will continue to continue on. Well said.
That's very deep and wise of you.
Dave and Mahoney.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show. You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
So, Mahoney, there's been a lot of talk about the four-day work week, and almost every trial that we've seen, and I don't know if it's just propaganda that's getting pushed to us because they know that we are big vocal supporters of the four-day work week, but almost every study that we have seen has proven to be very successful, not just for the workers, but also for the businesses, because the people that are there for the 4 days a week, they're focused on their job, they're doing it exceptionally
Burnout
well.
Burnout slows down, and then it's also really good for the economy because people have more time to travel, more time to do more things in the community. You're not just cramming everything into essentially 1 day a week that's yours, because by the time Sunday rolls around, you got to get ready for Monday, so you've really got 1 day a week with Saturday. So I am a... If we could find a way to make the four-day work week a thing here in America, I would be all for it.
How about Ecuador introducing a three-day work week?
Tell me more.
Well, it's because they're actually grappling with a severe energy crisis, prompting the government to take drastic measures such as ordering public and private sector workers to take Thursday and Friday off to conserve energy. So the crisis, marked by sudden blackouts, have the president firing the energy minister, and they're saying that the three-day work week is necessary. So I don't know if it's quite as fun to have 4 days off in a row and then only having to work 3 days if you like you can't turn on the lights or the air conditioning. That seems like it's a little bit less desirable.
That's not quite the boon I had thought a three-day work week would be.
Like, oh, we'll go out to the lake, maybe have a boat day, take the kids and go hiking, whatever it is. In this case, probably not quite as fun, but still, the three-day work week being introduced, I think, let's just see how it goes. Not ruling it out.
I mean, give me a three-day work week. I'll go without power for 2 days.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
New message.
Call the Dave and Mahoney Show voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY.
That's 833-963-8669. Please leave a message after the tone.
What's something normal people do that you just find really annoying?
Message deleted.
Slow walkers. It drives me crazy.
Not only slow walkers, but slow... wide walkers, when you are walking like 3 to 7 people wide.
How do you have a whole family that is slow walking and all of you are walking next to each other, blocking an entire aisleway, and you're not aware of it?
I understand how, you get these, blood feuds. Because I see a family like that, you are now my mortal enemy forever. I will Hatfield and McCoy you.
I will try to torture you into the ground. I hate you forever.
Part the ways, man.
Move.
Part the ways.
Hey, Mahoney, get your metal shillelagh out of the truck of your car. Go visit the guy. Get your money. Talk to you later. Bye.
Message deleted.
I don't have a shillelagh in the back of my car. I actually don't keep any large metal weapons that you swing in my car anymore.
Probably wise.
We've moved on to other things. But that being said, he's talking about my former landlord who lied to me, who still owes me $1,100 and has blocked me on social media.
Which would indicate he probably, because there's nothing that you did on social media that would make him block you.
No.
So that would indicate that he probably does not intend to pay you. Have you reached out to him and said, hey, knock, 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 reminder, you owe me $1,100?
I did that when he still owed me he paid me $500 originally.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, bro, you owe me $2,500 more. And so I gave, paid me. I reached out about 2 weeks later because I'm not a guy who's constantly beating down a door.
Yeah.
Sweating you constantly. But after about 2 weeks, I'm like, hey, you still owe me money and you need to pay. And then he sent me another 1,000.
Okay.
And then, like, I think another $500 or whatever. But we're about at $1,100 that he owes me now. And
I feel like this would be an appropriate time to give him a little knock-knock just to see how he reacts. Because we know more than he knows that we know.
Yeah.
You know,
he doesn't
know that we know that you have seen that you've been blocked on social media.
Yes.
And he also doesn't know that you are aware that he is once again living in that house.
That he said he was selling because his other house was going to be finished 4 months early.
I feel like this is a good time just to see how he reacts when you reach out.
Well, I don't even want to reach out. I'm going to reach out with a lawyer, and we're going to serve him.
No. See what he says.
I just want to go to court.
Of course you do.
I want to spend several hours and waste your life in court because I got a lot of free time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what we're going to do.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hi, I was just thinking and wondering, well, because they say that everyone has a price. I wonder if you all do.
Message
I
deleted.
Do. It's $1,100.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Mahoney, are you a big board game guy? I don't imagine that you are.
You know, I enjoyed some board gaming in my youth, Dave. You know, we would get together on Wednesdays and Thursdays and play Risk, and then we would play some Hearts and Spades.
Ooh.
You know, and then that was my favorite time board gaming. You know, I played a lot of Stratego in elementary school and a fair amount of chess, which I don't know if you consider chess a quote-unquote board game.
Sure.
Or not, but like lately I'm not like really playing a whole lot of board games.
I come from a big family, so we played a lot of Monopoly growing up, you know, with five siblings.
A lot of fights, I imagine.
Somebody would flip the board, and it was always, you know, right after you'd amass your fortune. Pretty frustrating. Trivial Pursuit, but I always felt like I was too dumb to play Trivial Pursuit, and maybe that was just because, you know, I was young at the time, and I didn't have the wealth of knowledge that I do now. But a game that was a classic that my grandparents always seemed to want to bust out.
What's that?
Scrabble? I don't know if you played a lot of Scrabble.
I feel like the grandparents, Scrabble, that was their version of, like, Settlers of Catan.
Settlers of Catan is something that I've played a decent amount because my brothers, for whatever reason, as, like, kind of like when they were in their 20s, got really into it.
Uh-huh.
And it became a super competitive thing while drinking, playing Settlers of Catan.
Okay, yeah. Sure.
but my evil grandmother used to always want to play Scrabble and would always win. She would always beat me at the very last second by a couple of points. Uh-huh. Like, she was manipulating the score, so I felt like I had hope, and then she would just drill
over
the dagger
the top.
In. Yeah, off the top ropes at the
turn
very last.
Turn that trucker hat around and then take you over the top.
That's right. Well, I have some good news. Mattel is launching Scrabble for Dummies.
Oh, so this might be good for us.
I mean, isn't Scrabble already kind of like the easiest game? Like, you're just spelling a word.
I mean, how are they going to just, like, you could only spell, like, three-letter words now?
Scrabble is getting a new collaborative and accessible game called Scrabble Together that aims at gameplay, making it more inclusive and engaging for a wide range of players.
Okay. I love how we're making it inclusive, a.k.a. we're dumbing it down for you stupid, mouth-breathing idiots like us.
Listen for reviews of your new favorite brews.
New favorite brews.
It's beer for breakfast.
It's beer for breakfast every Friday on Dave and Mahoney.
All right then, friends.
All I want to do is drink beer for breakfast.
We've made it to another Friday.
Sure have. Feels good.
All I want
to
eat is
like making it to new Fridays.
Yeah,
mostly because that means we get to drink new beers on the radio show, and we are still somehow gainfully employed.
This is work.
This is a tax write-off.
I imagine the IRS is going to have some questions about that, but listen.
Hey,
look right
can
there.
We not prove it? I will play this audio.
Yeah.
This is a required work expense.
What if they listen to the audio and they're just like, your show sucks?
I mean, that's probably what's going to be. We're actually going to charge you double your taxes now.
You're going to prison, not for tax evasion, for just having a crappy radio show.
And not the Wesley Snipes tax evasion prison, not the good one.
Yeah.
You're going to the bad one.
Yeah.
But we have made it to another Friday, and we are drinking beer once again with good friends, and I love what beer does. We've been fans of craft beer for a very long time, and we love showcasing it to people who might not know or do know and want to experience something new. And the beer that we are featuring today is the original American Pale Ale from Dale's.
So I've heard of Dale's before, but I've never had Dale's. And, I mean, Dale's kind of hails themselves as the original craft beer in a can.
It has been, yes. Which, by the way, the Dale's Pale Ale started around 2002.
Okay.
So, I mean, again, craft beer 22 years ago, in a can, it was not chic. It was not the way to do it. Everybody thought if it's not in a bottle, you're doing it wrong. But then we learned that, like, actually cans are the more efficient way to store beer because light doesn't come in. They're easier to stack, yeah, and they're easier to transport. And overall, it's just cheaper. Also, you get hit over the head with a can, much less painful than getting hit over the head with a bottle. So there is that as well.
I will say, I mean, you do have this connotation that, you know, something in a can is going to have less ABV. This is a pretty solid 6.5%, though.
Yeah, this one comes in at 6.5. So, you know, just good, solid beer. Definitely, you drink a six-pack of these, you're going to feel it.
Yep.
Price point, pretty good, too. You know, I think I paid between $9.99 and $10.99 for a six-pack of these beers. So bang for your buck when it comes to alcohol is there as well. The five categories in which we rate every single beer here on Beer for Breakfast are look, smell, taste, feel, and drinkability. That's how we rate every single beer. And starting off with the look, I mean, you look at this beer and it just looks like America.
It does. It's got that classic car, classic gas station logo type of look to it. It's red, white, and blue. I mean, I actually told you off air a moment ago, Mahoney, that before I even cracked it open and had a drink of it,
yep,
I'm like, I need to put these beers in my garage fridge.
Yep.
And just have it stacked up so in case a neighbor ever comes over, you can just toss them one. Like, it's just such an American-looking beer.
You said it looks like a gas station logo. Like,
yeah.
It absolutely does. It has that kind of classic old 50s Corvette font, too.
Yep, love it.
Love it, too. And it's interesting that you say gas station because what I just learned, because I've been drinking Dale's for a long time, you know, they have actually expanded quite a bit over the last 22 years. They've got two breweries, one in Colorado, one on the East Coast, and I think it's one of the Carolinas. And they are all over the place, but they were recently bought. And I didn't realize this because it was during kind of COVID times, and a lot of stuff happened during then. Monster Energy now owns this.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah, they actually bought a
craft. Yeah, so it makes it a little more douchey, but that's fine, whatever.
I mean, but it also makes it more available because Monsters, but true, also when you think of gas station, you think a Monster.
Yeah.
And Dale's Pale Ale, also available in a lot of gas stations across America, but it was owned by an organization prior to that called Canarchy, which was actually had some really good beers like Cigar City and a couple others that are, you know, were considered, they had really good reputations in the craft beer world.
But let's not get things crossed. If there's ever a point where Monster Energy approaches me and they want to buy me or this radio show, we are for sale.
We will be the Monster Energy Morning Show.
You bet you
we are 100%.
Well, absolutely.
But that being said, again, looks like America in a can. Red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
On there. The smell, I mean, the smell's not overly, you know, you're not getting a lot of, you don't get a lot of alcohol. You get a little bit of the hops
there. You get some hops, yeah.
I think it's pretty malt like forward.
It smells like Dale.
It does smell like Dale.
I mean, it smells exactly like Dale.
I can't put my finger on it, but, like, I don't know. There's something in the smell here.
Like, if you went to a gas station and you had a problem and some dude named Dale came out of that gas station and you were standing close to him, you'd be like, that's how I expected you to smell.
Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Not particularly good.
Let's move on to our favorite part, and let's all take a big drink of the Dale's Pale Ale. And cheers, friends. Cheers to you. Cheers.
Cheers.
Can't really. Yeah. Hands don't. Clicking cans together doesn't really make the... The one thing when you
together can be fun.
All right.
Okay.
We need Audrey here to balance this out.
Audrey, come back. This is
that's good.
I'm so confused.
So yeah, I mean, when I took the first drink as well, which full disclosure, I'm almost done with this beer. I was surprised, and I was surprised because of the amount of flavor and the hoppiness of this beer in a can, because the way that it looks like it should taste like a PBR, you know?
Right.
And it doesn't. Like, it really is, truly, it tastes like a hoppy craft beer, like an IPA.
Yep, should.
It's good. Like, it's smooth. The hops are like, annoyingly aggressive on the back end. It's actually fairly...
They're a little muted, and I will say this. One thing to watch out when getting this beer, you know, try to get it within, drink it before it's 6-7 months old. You know, because the hops do start to fade a little bit, which I think we are experiencing a little bit of that. It's also a little bit more malt forward when that happens.
Yeah.
But I would say that, you know, you get the hops, but it's not like that West Coast piney, super like scratchy hops that like Audrey traditionally doesn't like.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an overwhelmingly flavorful beer. It's just, you know, like I appreciate a hoppy beer. Right. I don't like it to linger too much after I've had a drink.
And this one doesn't.
And it doesn't. So this is right on point for me.
Chris, why are you confused by Dale's Pale Ale?
Well, Dave actually said it. It's because looking at the can, you think you're getting something else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Also, you guys know that I've never been an IPA fan. You guys are forcing me to like them over the last several months. But I've also never really drank a lot of just straight up American Pale Ales. So this was like a first for me. That's why it was kind of shocking when I took a drink. It wasn't what I expected. But there's a flavor here I can't put my finger on either. It's almost like a toffee undertone or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I mean, I feel like the malts, you know, this is a very malt-forward pale ale. That's why it's not a IPA. This is just a traditional pale ale.
A darker beer than I would have imagined too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely the malts are forward on this. It does have a little bit of a tang to it as well, but the citrus is there. I like the mouthfeel on this. I think it's really well carbonated. I think this is a good beer that kind of, you know, springtime, fall, like perfect. It's like summertime. This is kind of a good year-round beer that it doesn't, like, I feel like if I'm drinking this in the winter, I don't feel like it's too light. If I'm drinking it in the summer, I don't feel like it's too heavy.
This could be a pool beer and, yeah.
Middle of the road, solid pale ale. The mouthfeel, nicely carbonated, light to medium bodied, I would say.
Yeah.
But overall, the drinkability, I mean, when you're looking at about $10 for a six-pack of beer,
coming in
at 6.5% ABV, coming in cans, and being readily available across the country, not bad.
Yeah.
I would say not bad at all. Can I get a drum roll, please, Dave?
I don't know if we have a drum
roll. We have a drum roll. Oh! Mahoney's Beer Sales Premise Ring.
Excuse me,
Dave. American Pale Ale.
Wait, I'm stopping the drum roll.
What?
You got to redo that.
What?
You can't mess up Mahoney's Beer Scale of Supremacy.
I didn't mess up Mahoney's Beer Scale of Supremacy. I said...
I just messed it up again.
I've been drinking. Oh! Mahoney's Beer Scale of Supremacy. I give thee Dale's American Pale Ale. A solid 3.75 out of 5.
That's a wrap.
Well, it's about time.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Show on social media at Dave and Mahoney.
At Dave and Mahoney.
They're everywhere.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram.
Listen anytime and on demand at DaveandMahoney.com.